Bit of magic.
A bit of magic?
It's easy. Let's see.
Hello and welcome to episode number 5 of the Disney Magic Hour. This week we are going to talk about our ultimate Disney food feast, and we're just going to have a couple of pieces of news in the beginning. Sitting to my left, as always, is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Sitting across from me is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo. And that was What I Likes by Pogo. A lot of, actually, pretty much all Mary Poppins stuff in there. You can find that video over at youtube.com/Pogo. You can find more of his music over at soundcloud.com/Pogo Mix. And you can find his home address over at pogomix.net. Not his actual home address, his internet home address.
That'd be weird.
That would be weird. And while over there, you can also purchase his new album, Kindred Shadow, at a name your own price model. That was the word I was looking
model,
for.
That's, model. That's a good word.
Was the word I was looking for. We are lastgenpodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter at lastgenpodcast. You can find us on Facebook under the same name. And you can find us on iTunes if you just search for Last Gen, LASTGEN, or the name of the show, Disney Magic Hour. And you can also find our other show, The Film Basement, likewise. It's a different show, though. So the explicit tag is there for a reason. Actually, just read the reviews and you'll get a pretty decent idea. We'll talk about that more on our other show, though. So, a couple of really quick things I just want to talk about news-wise. It really wasn't like a big news week. People acted like they cared about Richard Petty. That was one thing. And we lost cheese. That's literally the news. They are bulldozing over... I don't know how else to put it. They're bulldozing over the Richard Petty driving experience that's all the way in the far parking lot, you know, beyond the parking lot of Magic Kingdom to expand the parking lot, which, Melissa, the last couple of times we've been there, we have seen cars parked all the way back there.
Yeah, which was surprising because the first time we saw it, I didn't even realize that was part of the parking lot.
Yeah.
That they parked back there.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I know a lot of people's reaction was like, oh, you don't need more parking. Not that... I mean, who cares about the racing thing? On top of it, they just had a death there.
Somebody
just died there, and I'm sure there's something going on with Richard Petty's name not going to be there anymore.
Yeah.
There's probably more than one reason. But the parking lot has been getting filled all the way back there, which is crazy. So the space evidently is needed. So that's going to be a thing of the past. So if you wanted to do that, I'm not sure about the closing date.
Isn't it already closed? I think it closed shortly after his death. No?
Okay. It's not, no. It's still there, but it's there for a very limited more time, maybe a couple of weeks at the most.
Okay.
Next up was there's no more hot nacho cheese dispensers. Not nacho cheese, but hot cheese dispensers.
Hot cheese dispensers, yeah.
They took them out of everywhere. The reason being, the rumor has it, and I did read an article about this, there was a young boy who burned his face on hot cheese. I don't know if that was true.
Did he stick his face under there?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. I didn't read it too much beyond that because no one else was reporting that. So I kind of took it as, okay, that's a silly story.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when I hear that, it sounds like it could be incredibly accurate. Like, that is the sort of thing that would cause them to, from one day to the next,
be like, we're not doing this.
Take everything out.
Yeah.
But it's also so sad that if that's what happened, that just one person doing something like that equals we have to get rid of everything.
I would assume that happens once a day, at least.
Well, this was like, you know, X degree burns on his mouth and face. Again, I don't know. I mean, he could have taken he could have taken a nosedive into the cheese.
Maybe the vat was open I don't know. Well, it's sad. It's still sad that it's gone, I guess. I don't know. It's not really cheese either.
Yeah,
I mean, unless they were going for like healthy, but for them to take it all out all at once, like there should have been some type of reason.
Like you would think they would kind of like, we're taking this out like soon.
Okay, you know what? It's an accurate story. It's on CBS.com.
Oh, nice.
A family is suing Walt Disney Parks and Resorts after they say their 4-year-old son was badly burned by dangerously hot nacho cheese that spilled on him at the Magic Kingdom. He suffered second and third degree burns, claiming, quote, the nacho cheese was scalding hot. The kid didn't say that. The parent didn't.
I would hope not. That's pretty good vocabulary for a four-year-old.
I don't. They don't say how it happened. That's really the most interesting thing that I would love to know is, how did it spill onto him? Because that makes it seem like it, you know, it spilled from above down onto him.
Like he was putting his face under the thing.
Yeah, possibly. That is a possibility.
I didn't even know they had nacho cheese dispensers or whatever, hot cheese dispensers.
Oh, here we go. According to their attorneys, Sean Cahill said Isaiah somehow spilled the nachos on himself when trying to eat dinner during a visit to the Magic Kingdom. This is back in 2010. This is when this happened.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Now, you know what? This can't be accurate. Yeah, this is a news article from 2011. That's why no one was doing that. Either that or they finally just came to an agreement.
Maybe, like a settlement.
And it kind of influenced that. So there goes your fake nacho cheese, folks. The magic is gone.
Oh, that. Maelstrom, what's next?
I know.
Well, good Richard thing Petty.
Richard Petty.
These are all the things that made Disney Disney.
They're taking everything away.
Well, now we'll talk about the good food that's there.
What we want to do this week is go through, if we had one day to spend just eating, where would we go? What's our favorite breakfast place, our favorite lunch place, our favorite dinner, and then what would we order? I put this question up online. People took it way too literally at first, and they were like, but I would have to go to the parks. It's like, no, don't worry about that. Just think about what food you would order and where you'd want to eat. It took me a while before I kept getting the like, but how could you, you know, not, I don't want to spend all day eating. It's like, no, all the rules don't matter. You're never going to get filled. You don't have a wallet to worry about. Everything's paid for you. This is simply where you want to go, your favorite places. That's it. You don't have to worry about booking them 6 months in advance. It could be Christmas and you're going to get all these places. Not in reality. That would never happen. But anyways. So
amazing.
Let's start with breakfast because, duh. Well, you know what? Does anyone not have Kona Cafe?
That was my second, actually.
Okay.
My second
choice. That's mine.
All right. Then, you know, Melissa, you start.
Okay. I chose Be Our Guest because we had most recently had the breakfast there. I know I'm getting the stink face from you, Pete, but...
No, you're getting the boring face from me.
Whatever. I really liked the whole setup. I like the setup of Be Our Guest in general for the quick serve, but putting it to breakfast I thought was even better. I like the fact that they still have the drinks on the side of the restaurant, so you can go and get your coffee and your, you know, tea and whatever, you know, you self-serve yourself, and the food still comes out to you by, you know, servers.
Yeah, I believe that only changes when you're at dinner.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, but for breakfast, like, to have, like, you don't have to worry about the waiter coming over and getting, you know, taking your order to get the coffee. It's like, you sit down, you can go get it right there. And, you know, I don't know, I like that aspect.
Okay.
I like also the fact that a lot, well, let me backtrack. A lot of the breakfasts in Disney tend to be character buffet breakfasts. And for me, that isn't always the best bang for my buck because I don't eat that much. So after one or two plates of breakfast, I feel like super done. And sometimes the buffet breakfasts are very generic. You know, you have your scrambled eggs, your pancakes, your waffles, you know.
And loud.
And they're loud. The characters come over.
If you're not looking to be in a very loud environment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a nice place to have a quiet, relaxing breakfast.
Yeah, yeah. You're not gonna, especially Chef Mickey's.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun. Yeah. But if you're looking to have like a nice, relaxing breakfast, that's not where you go.
Yeah, definitely not.
So I like the idea of these type of breakfast restaurants that give you really good, you know, plated breakfasts at a very, for me, reasonable cost. And I don't have to worry necessarily about characters coming over, because I know you can say like, oh, I don't want to take a picture or whatever. But sometimes I just feel like, I don't know, you went to the character breakfast. It's a little rude. I don't know. I feel rude doing that sometimes. So.
You realize that they're not actually... They're not going to take offense to that.
No, I understand that. That's why I'm saying it's only like a purely me thing. But so for me, the Be Our Guest whole, you know, you don't have to worry about characters. You get a plated meal. You don't have to worry about a buffet. And it was still in a really nice setting in the park. Was really great. And I thought the menu was actually pretty, you know, I thought it was pretty decent. It had a good variety. I wanted to try the cronut thing that you tried, but I didn't. The croissant donut with
caramel.
Is that
what I had?
Isn't, I think that's what you had, because you had the caramel on it.
I gotta be honest, I don't remember what I ate there.
All right. I had the vegetable quiche, which was really good. But
that
for my
sounds really exciting.
It does.
Mm.
Shut up.
Did it have kale?
No.
Okay, good.
Had other vegetables.
Had spinach.
Yeah, it had spinach. Peppers, yeah. You know. But it was good. But for my fantasy one, I chose the eggs Florentine. Because this also sounded good, but not something that I was immediately going to try. But I think just going back to it, I'll try this one another time.
So wait a minute. You're saying your number one breakfast is something you've never had.
Well, the whole experience of it would be something I definitely want to go back to, like, multiple times. If I was going to choose some to go somewhere, like, yes.
Okay.
And the fact that I don't have to necessarily stick to either, like, a plain, like, omelet kind of thing or heavy, heavy pancake, waffle type stuff.
Okay.
You know.
All right, well, let me tell you what you're wrong. let me tell you what you're wrong.
I hate you.
Because the correct answer is... Kona Cafe.
That was my number two.
That's the only answer.
That is the answer. There's backups.
There are.
But you that's go. It's silver medaling. That's all it is. No one cares about silver medalists. They care about the gold.
Meh.
See, another... I like Boma also for non-character meal breakfasts that are buffet and has different variety. That's another good one.
Yeah. That's my second one.
But that's my second one also.
Let's talk about what I would order simply at Kona Cafe. If you've been there, you really should know the answer to this. If you haven't, I'm gonna describe.
And if you don't know, the Kona Cafe is located in the Polynesian Resort.
Mm-hmm. It is Tonga toast. Tonga toast with bacon. If you don't know a Tonga toast, here it comes. Banana stuffed sourdough French toast rolled in cinnamon sugar and served with a strawberry compote. With your choice of ham, bacon, or sausage, I go with bacon.
I would take the sausage.
Oh, very well, very well.
And that is on my... That's part of my breakfast. And then I like a big, like, hearty breakfast.
Yes, big hearty. And then what, like a OJ, and then I get a cappuccino.
Well, for me, I would open with the Tonga toast also and sausage. I'd get myself one of those Kona French press pot coffees.
Those are good.
You got that. Yeah, you guys said good. I'm not a coffee drinker, so...
Yeah. And then I would also... I'd have to get something else because the Tonga toast is good, but I want something else also. So I would get the Samoan,
which I've had before.
It's poached eggs with hollandaise sauce served over smoked pulled pork hash.
Remember, guys, this is you have no full.
But yeah, but still, like, I wouldn't be full. If you know me, I probably wouldn't be full from eating
You
that.
Could... Wait a minute. You said a couple of weeks ago you don't like sweets, but you can topple off a Tonga toast?
No. I probably wouldn't eat the whole thing of the Tonga toast, but that's only because it's too sweet, not because it would fill me up. I would eat most of it.
Oh, all right.
But that's why I need the Samoan, to make sure I have enough food.
What's
in
the Samoan again?
That's the poached eggs with hollandaise served over smoked pulled pork hash.
I haven't had that because for me to get that, it requires me not to order Tonga toast.
I know. I understand that dilemma.
Really,
it's hard.
It's really hard for me not to order that.
It
and
is.
I think people need to Google image search Tonga toast.
No,
because
don't worry about it. I'll put it in a photo.
Okay, because it does. It looks like a loaf of bread. It's so thick.
Yes, yeah. It is. It is, actually. Yes.
It's like specially
cut. It's hollowed
cut.
Out, though, and then filled with beautiful things. So that is my number one. My number two was Boma.
Yeah, that was my number two also.
Boma, there's like over 40 items.
Yeah.
I can't get into all of them because I will run out of breath.
There's only two.
French toast, bread pudding.
Yes.
Is number one. What's the other one?
Boba tea. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, boba tea, which is corned beef, eggs, cream, potatoes, and onions.
And
which
sometimes,
on paper, maybe doesn't sound great.
Oh.
But it is absolutely delicious.
It is so good.
And I know sometimes they switch up what type of meat's in there. Sometimes it's turkey, sometimes it's pork, sometimes it's a combo, sometimes it's ground beef. And then they throw sometimes raisins in it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
When we had made it, that's what we did. We have the recipe called for raisins, which adds like a sweetness with the meat and the eggs. It's so good.
And Boma, if you do not know, is located at Animal Kingdom Resort Kidani.
No, Kidani Village.
Jumbo House. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I always got that. Jumbo House. So you'd actually have to go to the resort to check this place out. And if you've never been to Jumbo House, one of the most impressive lobbies you'll see on Disney property. And it's a great place to walk around, see the animals. Don't walk around the hallways, though, because you're in for a long day. So that was definitely my number two.
That was my number three, yeah.
What was your number two, then?
Kona.
Oh, Kona. Oh, okay.
But from Kona, I like to get the macadamia and pineapple pancakes. Mm-hmm. It's just three huge pancakes with macadamia nuts in there and then pineapple on top. It's delicious. But for my sweet breakfast, that's where I go.
That's where you would go. My number three, because I did write down a number three, my number three was Cinderella's Castle. Maybe not the most incredible food, but the best atmosphere. It's a really great atmosphere. You get to go into Cinderella's Castle, which is always cool.
Yeah.
It is very pricey. I mean, for an adult, it's almost like $55 to $60, depending on the time of year. But I have ordered the poached lobster and shrimp, which is grits, poached egg, andelay, and a spicy tomato basil marmalade, then with the lobster and everything. It's absolutely delicious.
I've ordered that. It's very good.
I have also, though, ordered the caramel apple stuffed French toast, which is exactly what it sounds like.
Mm.
Delicious. You also get a plate of
the pastries on your
table. That's right.
Which you also get at Be Our Guest.
Yeah, you do.
You get the pastries.
That's right,
there.
You do.
I like Cinderella's Castle. The only thing that took me away from putting that on my list was the price, but also the fact that you get with the price, you do get a picture with Cinderella of your whole party. You get the character experience. You get a toy wand or, you know, plastic sword for boy or girl. Mm-hmm. And sometimes just like all of that, I don't want all of that. That's why I went with Be Our Guest as like a plated breakfast that way.
Interesting.
Shut up.
I'll definitely give it a try again. It didn't stick out to me when we did it. It didn't stick out to me.
Yeah.
And where else did we... I feel like there was somewhere else that we went that later that day that maybe I was looking forward to more. Was that the day of Blue Zoo?
Possibly, because it was the weekend, I think.
It may have been. So I think my brain was also more focused on the dinner that was going to come later in the day.
Yeah.
So, Brian, did you have a number three if you had to?
Yeah, it'd be 1900 Park Fair.
Okay.
In the Grand Floridian. I like it. I like it's more adult. It's all adult characters, real character meets that you don't really see anywhere else.
Yeah.
The Mad Hatter.
Mad Hatter, Bert.
Bert, yes.
Mary Poppins.
Was
Winnie the Pooh there?
I was just going to say, I think Winnie the Pooh and Tigger were there.
Yeah, because it's the British characters.
Yeah.
That's right. Winnie the Pooh and Tigger was there, because I have the picture with Matt, and when we went there for that breakfast, I remember.
Yes.
Yeah, so they are there. But just some different characters, and they have a Lobsters, Eggs, Benedict.
Yeah.
And this is a buffet.
It's a buffet also, yes. It's a buffet.
Yes, yeah, so you have unlimited Lobsters, Egg, Benedict, which I definitely went to that a couple of times. This was also nice. The character interaction here was nice. It wasn't as loud while still giving you character interaction.
Yeah, it wasn't.
At this particular place. But
there wasn't as many screaming kids.
It wasn't, get up out of your seats and run around in a circle screaming and yelling for 35
You know, if you've ever been to Chef Mickey's, they all get up and they swing the towels around. That, or even Crystal Palace and stuff. You know, they do that sort of thing.
Yeah, they play the drums and stuff.
Which I love. I like Tusker.
I like Tusker.
Tusker is basically Boma.
Yeah, a little bit more generic.
It's a lot louder.
Yeah, it's a lot louder. And characters.
It's a lot louder. So that would be... All right, so that's our breakfast.
Yeah, I like breakfast. You know, it's the most, you know, it is the most important meal of the day, but I do like the fact that they're now kind of offering more variety from not only like restaurants, like sit down stuff, but I've noticed they put more stuff in the parks for you to have like quick stuff. And now there's Starbucks in all the parks. So for me, it's kind of opened up a
whole new world.
Sure.
You know what the most important thing is?
What?
Family. No. Oh. Breakfast? Okay. Little Arrested Development. Little Arrested Development for anyone out there. Let's go on to lunch. You know what I have in my number one for lunch? And then as I made my list, I think my number two that I had on my list, I think it's going to jump up above it. Brian, let's start with you for lunch. What's your number one lunch?
The Rose and Crown in Epcot. I would start myself off with the Imperial Flight. It's a flight of beer. You get a glass of, it's not a full glass, it's a smaller glass, but you get a glass of Bass, Harp, Strongbow, Boddington's, and Guinness.
Love that Bass.
I love that Bass.
A little SNL for everybody. I'm sorry, I'm referring to this today. No one?
I know,
that's
hard.
Okay.
Nothing? Bass-O-Matic? Nothing? Jesus, it's like a mannequin show in here. All right.
Then I would get the, I like the Scotch egg. It's an appetizer. It's a golden fried hard-boiled egg that's wrapped in sausage. With mustard sauce. It's very good.
Yes.
And then for my entrees, remember, we can eat nonstop. So I would get the bangers and mash, which is the traditional English sausage with cabbage, bacon, mashed potatoes, and a gravy.
Good Lord.
And I would also get the shepherd's pie, which is ground lamb, veggies, peas, mashed potatoes, and cheddar.
So you're,
and then I might get the fish and chips also.
You're treating this as if you're on a cruise.
Basically.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you're on a cruise. Yeah. Okay. Make that happen, by the way.
All right.
You're really aggravating me without booking that thing yet.
I didn't go that detailed. But yeah, Rose and Crown would definitely be my number one lunch.
Okay.
For drinks, I wouldn't do the whole flight. I would just get the Snake Bite, which is a Bass Ale with... No, wait. Is it Bass Ale? No, I forgot. Yeah, it's Bass Strongbow? Ale with Strongbow on top.
That's okay.
Yeah, the Strongbow cider, which I love, is on top. So it's and a nice mix. And then I have to go with the fish and chips because there's no other place where I can get really, really good fish and chips like that. And they automatically put the malt vinegar, without going overseas.
Yes, I know.
And they put the malt vinegar on the table, which is the only way to garnish your fish and chips.
No ketchup.
No ketchup.
Ketchup is insulting.
To the Brits.
My number one, it's Rose and Crown. I had something else, but then when I started writing down what I would order for lunch at this place, I was like, no, you're number one. I feel like I wanted to do something different just because Rose and Crown for me was the obvious choice, but it's the obvious choice because it's the best choice. Appetizer for me would be the St. James smoked salmon with traditional condiments and lemon mayo. Entree is absolutely the fish and chips. If I'm going to get something over there. At night, I want to say they might still have the Surf and Turf, which was the steak and the fish, which was fantastic. But this is lunch. I don't believe they had that as an option for lunch.
They don't.
Then I got to get my dessert, sticky toffee pudding.
Yeah.
That is a steamed pudding cake. Cake is in quotes on the website.
Because
so think about that.
British, like English cake is different than American cake.
Oh, okay, okay. Served with warm vanilla custard and hot butter rum sauce. That is...
Yeah, you really can't go
wrong. We may have to do that in
November,
actually. I mean, December. That may have to be something that we go back to.
Yeah, and the thing that I like, because if you're now talking in reality, if you're going for lunch and you don't necessarily want to do a restaurant for lunch, you can still get the good fish and chips at the Rose and Crown Quick Serve. It's called
Yorkshire Fish Company or something? Yeah,
Fish Company.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, you can just get your fish
get your fix there.
And it's good. It's the same.
It's the same, yeah.
It is. It's slightly different fish than inside.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
But
it's a little
still
smaller,
just
right?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
but it still is good, yeah.
All right, so the unison for Rose and Crown are number one. What is your number two, Melissa?
My number two actually is Sanaa, which is also in the Animal Kingdom Lodge. This one's in Kidani. It's the only restaurant in Kidani?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. We've gone a number of times. Every time I've gone there, it's grown on me more and more. I really, really enjoy it. You want me to just go through my start?
Can we first talk about how we learned to say the word correctly?
Yes, you can.
The Charlize Theron type waitress correct us because we said
we were going
Sana.
Yeah, we were like,
and she's like Sana.
Yeah,
she dragged out that A. Sana. So, all right.
I don't know if she did exactly like that, but
yeah. Well, she probably did.
You might have been distracted by her beauty.
I may have been.
She was very pretty.
So are you.
Aww.
Gonna tell us what you were gonna put down as your food? Boom.
Yeah. To start, I scratched up my thing. I have to endorse the bread service that they have because we've done it a couple times and
nonviolent.
It is very good. You get a choice of a few different types of bread. You can choose three of them. So you have like your traditional naan bread, your garlic ginger naan bread, your spiced naan. Then you have onion kucha or paneer parthra. I'm not really sure what exactly those are. They don't really give too much of a description. They don't give a description. I'm reading what it has. But we know the naan bread is the
We eat all that bread.
Yeah.
We always get the bread. What would you call that? What exactly is the word?
It's called bread service.
Oh, that's simple as that?
Yep.
I thought it was Taste of Africa. Maybe that's Chico.
That's Chico.
That's Chico. That's why. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's the bread service.
Spoiler alert. Chico's coming up later.
You can tell. I have a feeling you can tell we go a lot together because we probably actually all have the same places.
It's not my number one.
No. Okay.
It's not my number one.
And then you get to choose, what is it? Three accompaniments. So it's different types of either chutney or hummus or...
Love the mango chutney.
Yeah. And then, you know, they have a couple different types of spice levels, so you can get. I've gotten the red chili sambal, which is very good.
You said, I mean, like you're good with hot foods. You've said even the hottest one wasn't very hot for you, though.
Yeah, sometimes when they say it's spicy, I do take it, especially at Disney, with a grain of salt because it never seems to be spicy for me. I know I have a high spice tolerance.
They also have to.
But I know that they have to say it for anybody who does have a very low.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's why I know.
Even when going they say in, it's really spicy, it's for you, it's going to be mild.
Yeah, so I know even if they tell me it's spicy, I'm probably fine with
it. If we go to Curry Club, when they say spicy, they mean spicy.
And then I'll probably really enjoy it because I really do like the spice. But yeah, the bread service I think is my favorite part. I like when we keep it a little bit after the appetizer for the main meal because to have it with my meal, I enjoy too because...
Yeah, no, I think it works best with the meal in front of you because, I don't know, it just kind of feels more of a full experience.
Especially, like, depending on what type of meal you get. The one that I like, it's called Potjie-inspired. It's P-O-T-J-I-E. Okay. And what happens is you can choose either basmati rice or five-grain pilaf rice. I choose the basmati.
Okay.
And then you get a type of either meat or vegetable type of curry with it. So you can choose like from chicken or shrimp, or you can choose like a vegetable one. I got one last time. It was called the paneer tikka. It was all vegetables and cheese in a really delicious sauce that, you know, you mix with the basmati rice, or if we have the bread service, you could throw a little bit on the bread and eat it that way. It's my favorite. I can't. Uh-huh.
My number two, which was originally my number one, it jumped up onto this list because of our most recent trip. We ate there three times.
Oh.
So it started to really make an impression upon me. The Hollywood Brown Derby.
Yeah.
A phenomenal lunch. A very simple menu for me to pick what I'm going to have. This is specifically for lunch, though. For dinner, I would pick a different entree. But for lunch, I would choose the entree size of the Cobb salad.
The entree size?
Yeah, because if I ate a little bit more, then great, I have it. Again, remember, we're not full.
No, I know. That's
okay.
True.
On a human trip, I would never be able to eat the entree size Cobb salad.
The thing is, like, a bowl
it
is huge.
Absolutely massive.
Yeah.
I've got to assume there's like 7 or 8 eggs in that thing.
Yeah.
Right?
I love the way they prepare it, too. And,
yeah. They separate it all. And if you don't know what a Cobb salad is finely chopped greens, turkey breast, egg, bacon, tomatoes, crumbled blue cheese, avocado, chives, and then Cobb dressing. The story they tell you at the restaurant isn't accurate. It's because the dude was drunk. He had to put some food together. That's what he got. So it's a cute story at the restaurant, but it's not really accurate. If you're still alive after eating that, even in this dream scenario, I feel like that would be a tough, tough plate to finish off.
Yeah.
The dessert is kind of more of a traditional dessert that you might find in a restaurant locally towards you. It's the mini desserts.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to pick three of these mini desserts, but of all the choices, and we had this with the Lunch with an Imagineer that we recently did, it was the banana toffee cake on a cocoa crunch and strawberry banana pearls. Delicious. The Brown Derby Original mini grapefruit cake. I'm not even sure if I enjoyed that, but I would want to try it again.
It was very good. I liked
it. Was it? Okay. Yeah. I don't know why. Like, my brain doesn't remember the taste that much, but I remember enjoying it.
Yeah.
But then when I try to really remember what it was that I liked, I got nothing.
I liked it because it was like a little tart like grapefruit, but it was sweet because
you were eating cake. It was definitely tart. I do remember that. And then the chocolate sphere with hazelnut, praline chocolate, and orange white chocolate mousse.
That was very good.
Is my number two. Bri, you got a number two for lunch?
Yeah, actually, the food here isn't, I mean, it's good. It's nothing spectacular. I think it's still decent. But I really like it for the atmosphere. It's the Sci-Fi Diner in Hollywood Studio. I really like, they have really good onion rings there, which is like horseradish dipping sauce. That's really good. They have fried pickles, which I love. Mm. And they have a Reuben. I'm a big Reuben fan, and their Reuben is actually pretty good there.
What's a Reuben again? I don't know what
it is. It's a corned beef with, usually corned beef on rye with Swiss cheese, sauerkraut, and Russian dressing.
Okay.
So, yeah, that would be my number two. And the atmosphere is there, great. You sit in like an old, it's like an old drive-in movie theater. You sit in the cars, and you face a big screen, and they play all classic sci-fi, you know, trailers and... They have the old time, let's all go to the lobby, like that sort of, you know, commercials and stuff. And it's just a cool atmosphere.
Yeah. If you're a Mystery Science Theater fan, you're going to see a lot of familiar movies.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But actually, I'm not saying it jokingly. You actually will recognize a lot of the movies that they show up on that trailer screen.
Yep.
So, okay, do you have a number three, Melissa?
I do. And it's, I guess, number three for a reason. But
Well, we're out of time. I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
It's the quick serve in Mexico, the Mexico Pavilion.
Is that called La Cantina de San Angel?
It is.
That's my number three also.
Yeah, because I know you got the tacos there. And I have the nachos.
It has no business being number three. That place should be boring. It's shockingly good.
No, it's one of the best quick serves.
Yeah.
I think around, besides, you know, the Rose and Crown, but if you want like more of a unique lunch, like I feel the Mexico is really fantastic.
I think it's really, really good.
Honestly, it just skinned beating out one of the other quick serves. I guess if we were going to do like quick serve lunches. It would be up.
We'll be here for 3 hours.
It would be like my number one quick serve. But yeah, the tacos, the nachos, and the best thing is the churros with the caramel sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, something that should be good.
Yeah, no.
I don't think it should be, but I remember when we ate there the first time, I was like, I can actually taste things. Like, there's flavor to this food, where a lot of the quick serves are kind of generic food.
Yeah.
This one is a definite standout, and they have apple soda.
Yeah, they have the Mexican sodas and beers.
Yes, the Doritos. I believe that's how it's said. I have no idea. But yeah, I think it's a Dorito. And it's apple soda. Absolutely love it. I was actually going to look on Amazon after I read this. I was like, I do really love that. So
don't they have that at Blue Tortilla up here?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you got...
I don't know if they had apple. They do have different flavors, that's why. They have mango, fruit punch, and pineapple. But I always get the apple one. Mm. That was also my number three. Yeah, I get the beef tacos with the churros as a dessert. Bri, what do you have for number three?
Mine would be... I'm at Epcot also, but I'm going to go to... my home country of Germany, and would be Biergarten, which is
for lunch. My God,
yes. Well,
in the real world, you would have to go home.
In the real world, I usually do dinner, but I have the dinner ones, the ones I put for dinner.
Yeah,
I had to put Biergarten somewhere.
Yeah, Biergarten's not going to be in your dinner list. I don't believe.
It's like it's set up like a Oktoberfest when you go in.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice. They have live entertainment. They have four guys that play instruments, sing songs. One guy plays the cups. It's really kind of cool. They have like a little dance floor area, so like the kids go run down there and dance around.
You mean like Pitch Perfect?
Yeah, kind of.
Wait, no, really?
Yeah. All well, right. No, she used her finger, right?
No, she used two cups.
No, not like that. No, they glass cups and...
Oh, no. Yeah, no. She actually...
Yeah, no, I remember now what you're talking about. No, not like that. They have those I forget what it's called, but those gigantic horns that, like, you would call, like, from a mountain across to the other mountain.
The recolor horns.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And they tell, you know, they tell stories about German stuff. It's cool. And the food's good if you like German food. You have to like German food. I do. I grew up with it. I'm German. So, you know.
I feel like that doesn't match my memory. Like, me thinking of you guys and this, you know, growing up, like, traditional German food.
Oh, no, not here. No. Like, but like my dad's parents, they used to eat there all the time.
Oh, okay. You know. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah. They would cook it. Like, my mom doesn't cook.
So
she just cook.
Do you want to go to the dinners?
Yeah, I feel like ours is going to overlap.
I don't think so.
I think you're lying.
No. Your number one is California Grill.
It is not.
Chico.
Lies.
I put Chico as number one. I didn't want to initially, but after you were saying we're going to have a lot of that overlap, and I'm struggling, and I was like,
wait, it's definitely number one.
You just
made it sound like I said we're going to have a lot of overlap, like it was a problem. You were nervous about that, and I said, I don't care if we have overlap. Yeah. I want you to say what's your favorite one.
Yes.
Yeah, that was two different things. The way you said it and what actually happened.
Well, the reasoning behind Chico being my number one, ultimately, is because that is the only place that I can say I can go in and whatever's on the menu, I can't get that anywhere else.
Except for the filet mignon.
I've never had that, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying. But that seems to be all of the...
But even the way it's prepared at Chico is very unique.
Yes. Absolutely.
You won't get some of the beef part itself. You can get, but then the stuff that surrounds it is not the same.
Yeah, because even like experience. I know they've had duck, and I've had duck at Chico, mm-hmm. And I've had duck at Monsieur Paul, and it's two completely different experiences. Mm-hmm. But Chico just outweighs it, because for me with the dinners, I noticed the three that I have, the biggest thing for me was the bread and butter. It's the thing that they start you off with first, and each one of mine has some unique aspect to it, and the bread and butter at Chico is very unique. What's the butter called? I think it's tandoori, I want to say.
I think that might be it. Yeah,
it doesn't even look like butter. It's like an orangey color. I couldn't find it on the menu. I tried, but hopefully you can find
tandoori
it.
Tandoori butter.
Okay, it is tandoori butter.
It's dabo bread.
Okay.
With tandoori butter.
And just from the beginning with your bread, it's so unique. I love it.
Yeah. Well, Chico is my number one also.
Surprise! Very nice. Wait. Let's get your menus.
Okay, so
let's start with you. What would you guys, your appetizer?
My appetizer... I haven't gotten this, but it sounded really good. Sounds like something I would like.
That's amazing.
Because what happens is the menus change seasonally. We don't go in the summer. Right now, it's a summer menu up. So
okay, all right.
That's what I'm going to put that to. The seafood curry. It's mussel, shrimp, scallops, pineapple coconut curry, and anise fig crostini. I love seafood. The fact that they mix it in with the curry, but it's a... pineapple coconut curry sounds like it's sweet.
That sounds really nice.
It sounds so good.
That sounds really, really nice.
And then for my main meal, I would get the Nigerian spice pork shank. The thing that got me with this, it comes with braised greens, ancient grain risotto, and apple butter. I love apple butter. The first time I had apple butter, I was in Liberty Tree Tavern, so in Disney also. And so as soon as I saw that on the menu, I had to try.
That was our last trip. That was the first time you ever had apple butter?
No. This was back when with my family.
Okay, because we had never gone together since our...
way when I was young. We did the dinner there with the apple butter, and I don't know, that just stuck with me. And then for dessert, I'd get the malva pudding. It's toasted meringue, lemon curd, and wild strawberries. Sounds very light, but that's what I sometimes really am attracted to with my desserts. I don't know if it's just because sometimes the meal can be so, you know, not heavy in a bad way, but, you know, filling in, you know, a lot of, like, meat and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because on vacation, I tend to eat more meat than I do at home. So the desserts, if they're light like that, like a meringue or a custard, I tend to go there. And that just sounded really good for me.
It does sound good.
Yeah. Brian?
Very nice. I would get the Taste of Africa, which we kind of talked about before. It's non-bread with, I think, three or four different dipping sauces that they give you. It's really good. Non-bread is so good if you haven't had it. It's
yeah.
They really sell good. It at Whole Foods.
Yeah, they sell it all over. I've seen it. Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same, but.
Well, they probably make it there.
It's all in the preparation.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
For my entree, I'd get the oat growth filet mignon.
Mm-hmm.
Comes with pole beans. It's called spoon bread. It's basically, the best way to describe it, it's kind of like a cornbreadish type of bread.
Okay.
And it's in a red wine sauce. And they used to do this. I don't know if they still do. I think if you ask, they might still make it for you. They'll do it for you. They used to have that mac and cheese that they would make there.
Oh, I don't remember.
You don't
that.
Remember that?
No, no.
Yeah, they used to have a mac and cheese at Gico. It used to come with the filet mignon.
I do remember that. Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
I believe if you ask, they will do it, but it's not on the menu anymore. So,
oh, very interesting. Okay.
And it's really good. And then for this is a dessert, but I would have it for dessert. But I would also have, they have artisanal cheese selection. I'm a big cheese person.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely like that. And then they also had something that I have never tried, but I would like to try because I don't think I've ever seen it on the menu before. It's a frozen confection flight. It's a tasting of miniature-flavored cones filled with African-inspired ice creams and sorbets.
Ooh.
I don't remember seeing that ever on the dessert menu. But like Melissa said, they do change their menus. These some of the menus stay the same, but like especially the signature restaurants and stuff like that, they tend to change it seasonally. And certain things will always be there. Like the filet mignon is always there.
Right.
But some of the things that accompany the filet mignon might change, or the desserts might change, appetizers might change, things like that.
Yeah.
And Gico, one of the other things, you need to get wine.
Yes.
They have one of the largest collections of South African wine in North America.
Yeah.
And it's, if you don't know wine, you ask the server. They'll pair something up for you. I don't know wine, so you ask the server. And but it's great.
And request the wine room.
And request the wine room. Request the wine room,
yeah. See if it's available. Ask them if it's available. If it's available, get yourself in the wine room. It's really, really great.
And that atmosphere in that restaurant is just fantastic.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. That is my number two. So I'm going to tell you what I would order.
Oh, and that's
there.
At Animal Kingdom Jumbo House also.
Yes.
Just
good
so,
point.
You know.
So basically, Jumbo House, if you're looking to just go to eat food, you can just stay there. And you're going to be okay, really.
Yeah. You got Boma.
Quick Serve is one of the better quick serves also.
The Mara.
So you got Boma, you got Mara, you got Gico, and you can walk over to Sonoma. For Gico, which is my number two, I would order the Taste of Africa and the artisanal cheeses as my opener. I became a fan of this during
the
Food and Wine, Food and Wine Fest.
Oh, right.
2 years ago. That's when I first got it over in the Outpost in Epcot.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is what I've been missing. So fell for it completely. Yeah, it continued when we ate in Remy.
Yeah, because the Food and Wine was just like, I think it was like 3 pieces of cheese.
Something like
and
that.
And then Remy
yeah.
was just like the whole cart. You know, that she gave us.
Yeah, that was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
For my entree, it would be the Maize Crusted Halibut. I'm a big seafood guy. I want to say I've had this. Actually, no, I have had this. I usually order a fish dish over there. That is simply just halibut vegetables of the moment with tomato butter sauce. My dessert would... you know what? This was the only reason this did not make my number one.
Mm.
The desserts at Gico don't excite me.
Yeah, they did.
It kind of just seems like, oh, okay, there's desserts there.
Didn't we read the menu? I had like three that I could have picked.
Yeah, no. You also put Be Our Guest, on breakfast. So, I got this is the chocolate mousse and hazelnut decoys cake.
Okay,
Ghana chocolate glaze. I got this. And I'm not a huge chocolate fan. Too much chocolate, I think, it doesn't sit well. This, even though it was heavy chocolate, I thought it was great.
Yes.
So that would be my full Monty over there. But I guess I'll say my number one now. And then we'll go into your guys' number two. My number one is Flying Fish Cafe. I usually say a lot louder and I scream Flying Fish, but I can't do that right now. This is located at the Boardwalk Villas.
Yep.
I think that this is the restaurant we've consistently had the best service. The most information given to us from the waiter. Gico would be right there as well, along with California Grill.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But we've never had an off experience at Flying Fish Cafe. The waiters are very, I don't know why, they seem more friendly-ish.
I don't know if it's because they're like a signature restaurant, so they have that criteria, that level they meet.
But so is California Grill and Chico.
Well, that's what I'm saying. All of those places.
But what I'm saying is it's, at Flying Fish, I find it more personable.
Oh, okay.
They're more personable. I think personable. That's the word.
Is it maybe a smaller restaurant? I've never actually eaten at Flying Fish. Is it maybe a smaller place that can have more time?
It definitely doesn't house as many people as Chico or California Grill.
It's not California's as large as bigger, that. Yeah.
Okay.
So I would say, yeah, I guess it is kind of a smaller place, but it's very bustling inside.
It's busy. Oh, yeah.
Because it's right on the boardwalk.
And it's an open kitchen. So much like California
Grill. Yeah, California Grill. Yeah.
So you hear a lot of the action from the kitchen and whatnot, you know, while you're there. Not distracting by any means.
Yeah, no.
You know, you can still have a whispering conversation and, you know, you'll be fine. My appetizer would be the signature crab cake, which comes with a vegetable slaw, red peppers, and ancho chile remoulade. I've had that, I think, a couple of times since we've been there. Absolutely fantastic. They're big, too.
Yes.
Big, well-flavored, always come out hot. Never had an issue with that either.
Yeah, no.
My entree would be, it's really their signature dish. It's the Idaho potato-wrapped red snapper with creamy leek fondue, veal glace. Is that how you say that? I'm not really too sure. And red wine butter. I've had this every time we've gone.
Yeah,
I can't force myself to get something else, and I've tried. But then I remember that's on the menu.
Well, I was going to say, I think you've gotten also, like, they have, like, a surf and turf version of that.
Yes, that's
so
true.
So you still do get that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. It's like a half the snapper.
Yeah.
And then it comes with a steak.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's still there regardless. Yeah. I always kind of do it. And it has probably my favorite dessert, the caramelized banana Napoleon, which is a banana mousse, cream caramel, exotic fruit coulis, and bitter chocolate. Absolutely great. It's not like a soft cake, though.
No. Napoleons, you know,
it is a Napoleon, so you have to use a fork on it and stuff. That is probably my favorite dessert behind the one time we had the seasonal dessert at California Grill.
The apples.
Which was a fall.
Yeah.
It was just called, like, the fall dessert thing.
It was all apple themed.
Apple themed.
Yeah.
And it was
the whole dessert thing.
Yeah. And it was, there was this apple cider that when I drank it, it gave me chills and, like, I got goosebumps from it.
I remember
that. It was so strong.
Yeah.
It bordered on, like, oh God, that's way too much.
Mm-hmm.
But after the initial, like, shiver effect that went through my body, I finished the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that is still the best dessert I've ever had in Disney World. But yeah, my number one is Flying Fish. There's some, I don't know, it's a comfort level in that place that the other two places don't have. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because they're a little more uptight.
Yeah.
I want to say that's really what it is. At least that's what I get from the wait staff. It feels looser in Flying Fish while still having the quality of a California Grill, of a Chico. It is something to note, though. I've yet to do Victoria and Albert's, and that will be fixed within the next 2 years. I don't know what that experience is like yet. I didn't want to throw it up here without having any experience in it. So that is something to remember, though. The granddaddy of meals on Disney property is Victoria and Albert's to all intents and purposes. It's also the really most expensive.
I would say maybe we could not equate it, but expect something
like Remy.
Like Remy.
Absolutely.
A higher even level than Remy.
I'm not sure, because if it wasn't on a cruise ship that we were already paying to be on the cruise ship, I think the price would be the same as it is for Victoria and Albert's.
That's probably very true. I mean, they both do have, like, a very strict dress code and everything, and you get the whole, you know, course experience.
Yeah, multi courses.
Yeah.
I mean, Remy was what, 9 courses?
I lost count. Yeah.
I think it was 9. I believe it was around 9. I have a feeling that number fluctuates, too. Dependent upon, like, what their kind of feedback they're getting from the guest.
Okay.
And all that kind of good stuff. So you already know what my number 2 was. My number 2 was Chico. Melissa, what was your number 2?
My number 2 is Yachtsman Steakhouse. I didn't put this as my number 1 because, again, like... because
you're the devil.
I am. I feel like you can get steak anywhere. Getting really good steak does have, you know, you have to go certain places. So that's why it did make my list, because I do feel that this is the one place where I can get a really good steak. I can tell them how I want it cooked, and they won't yell at me that I want it with red in it, you know, or pink in it. If you go to like a regular restaurant and you say medium rare, they're like, you know, that has pink in it. I'm like, yeah, that's the way I want it. Okay. But everybody's always so concerned about, you know, you want it cooked right so you don't get sick.
Can I tell you, I think that you're reacting very harshly to these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Because if they work in a steakhouse, they should know.
No, if they work in a steakhouse, but if you go to like Applebee's or something
We have to go to Shula's also. We haven't been there.
Yes.
And to most of what I've heard, Shula's is superior to Yachtsman. It's worth finding
out. I'm game for that.
Yeah.
Thing with Yachtsman again starts with the bread. They give you just, it's a regular butter with sea salt on top, so it's nothing crazy there, but they also give you roasted garlic, and that was one of the first times I've had roasted garlic like that. They actually roast it in the clove and they present it to you like that, and you just scoop the, you know, one clove of garlic out and spread it on your butter. Spread it on your bread.
Spread it on butter too. It's okay.
It floored me the first time I had it. So that experience started out really great for me. Even I think the bread they give you two types of bread. It's like a sourdough roll and then a onion type of bread.
Okay.
It almost looks like a little muffin. I don't know if you remember it.
What was the bread with the cherry tomatoes in there or something like that? Was there something
cherry
like that?
Tomatoes?
Mm. No, I'm thinking of something else. Okay. But it's like a bread with like cherries in it.
I don't remember something. That.
Yeah.
Anyways. But so, yeah, again, starting with the Yachtsman with that, the bread floored me there. So then with my appetizer, I saw this on the menu when I was looking, and I haven't seen it when we've gone, and it sounds really interesting. It's a squashed blossom jalapeno popper, exactly what you would expect a jalapeno popper to be, but it just sounds better because it's from Yachtsman, so.
What's squashed blossom? I don't know what that means.
I don't know, honestly. The description just says smoked cheddar, pimento cheese, red pepper relish, and ranch.
Okay.
Well, so, I mean, a jalapeno popper is just usually a jalapeno with cheese and, yeah like, fried.
Yeah.
Which I love.
From TGI Fridays.
No, from Blue Tortilla, which is better because it's fresh.
They never get your food right.
So
I always get my food right.
They never get our food right.
Well, maybe you should stop being difficult.
Yeah, so I go with her. And
there you go.
And they're like, hey, do you know that it's pink on the inside? She's like, yes, I know it's pink on the inside. And she throws things. And so.
Yeah. It makes more sense.
You guys suck. For my dinner, this is the only one I've got. No, I think I got a different one last time. But the steaks that they have for me are usually very, very big.
Yeah.
I usually stick with the 8-ounce filet mignon.
Mignon.
Sorry about that.
No, that was actually pretty phenomenal.
It's served with mashed potatoes in a Cabernet wine sauce. Very simple, you know, steak and potatoes, but it is just, it's always super tender. It's never tough. You know, it's like almost like a butter knife. I know it's a little sharper, but it just feels like the butter knife can just slice right through it. It's fantastic.
They got rid of my favorite dish over there, though. They don't have it anymore.
What?
It was the duo steak. It was the strip steak and
the porterhouse.
I think it may have been a porterhouse.
It's like one on one side, one on the other.
It was half and half, and they got rid of it.
Maybe not enough people were ordering it. I don't know.
The world is full of fools, then.
It was also like $70-something.
Get on the meal plan.
Well,
it doesn't matter. That's how I do it.
And then for dessert, usually the desserts here don't stand out to me as much. But
peanut butter pretzel?
You got that. That
you
I don't
didn't
know.
Dig that.
Yeah,
you didn't dig it. I did.
Yeah, the sweet salty thing that's been like a trend. Mm. I don't necessarily like.
Yes, yes. More proof that you're the devil. Yes.
Yes. I have to agree.
But the lemon blueberry cheesecake just sounded really good. Again, sweet and tart all mixed in one. So I like that.
But sweet and salty.
Yeah, sweet and salty. I can do. But you know, it's weird. Like I'll eat a chocolate covered pretzel. I don't have a problem with that. But having like even like the
bag of flips right now
thing at Starbucks, like it's the salted caramel.
Does
not want to.
All right. Well, okay. won't try to bring you into a church because everything will catch on fire.
Oh, shush, please.
Well, Yachtsman is actually my number three.
Okay.
So I'll just go over what I would choose. They have a lobster bisque there.
Yes,
they
do.
That's very good. So I would get that to start. And then I would get my...
I like the presentation of that as well.
Yeah.
It's a really nice presentation. They come out and they're like, Here's, you know, 12 ounces of stuff and then one piece of crab.
There you go. Throw it in there. For my entree, I would get the New York strip steak. It comes with a white cheddar, twice baked potato, peppercorn brandy sauce. And the side, I would get the truffle mac and cheese.
That's very good.
Yeah.
I've had that.
Yes.
Very good.
It's very good. And then for dessert, Pete already said it, the chocolate peanut cake. It's pretzel, salted caramel, gelato, liquid ganache.
Preach, brother.
And that's what I would have. So me and Pete would enjoy our meal, and Melissa would be yelling at the, at the waitress.
No, they would get it right. I'd be fine.
Oh, okay.
She'd be like, I just want lemons.
She'd be like, give me my steak medium rare, and give me my lemon blueberry cheesecake.
So, Brian, you have your number two left?
My number two, yeah. Is,
why don't you do your number two, and then I'll do number three, and then you do your number three.
My number two would be California Grill.
Okay.
Heard of it. You've heard of it. Mm. It's in the Contemporary Resort. It's up, what is it, near the top? At the top, right?
Yeah, it's the 15th floor.
Yeah, it's the 15th floor, right? 15th floor. It's got great open windows. You can see, you know, all
huge
out.
Huge tracts of land.
Huge tracts of land. It's good to own land.
It's good. Good to own land.
what they have there is, for an appetizer, it's a flatbread.
Oh.
Now, I don't see it on the menu, but the one we had gotten the one time we want, that was a lobster flatbread.
It's not there anymore. No, it was a salmon flatbread.
It was salmon flatbread. That's what it was.
It was a salmon flatbread. It was a meal.
It was so good,
though. It was more than a meal. There were three of us, and we barely finished it. And I think I ruined my dinner that night from eating that.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
Yeah, I ate too much of it because it was delicious.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
But I quickly, afterwards, I was like, oh, I just... that's it. I'm done. I actually just ate dinner.
Yeah.
So that was, yeah, my first experience at California Grill was not good, but it was good enough later for it to make my number three.
Okay. And then they have other different types of flatbreads. And this one, I don't think we had this one, but I would try this one now. The barbecue pork and apple flatbread. It's got coffee, brine, pork shoulder, apple butter, queso fresco, and coffee barbecue sauce.
Is that also known as the chili coffee rubbed pork flatbread?
I believe it is.
That, I was going to say that might be it, but that's not how it's on here. That's not how they describe it.
This is straight from their website. I believe that's what it is. And actually, me and Melissa did have that just on our last trip.
Okay.
It is fantastic.
Okay. It sounds fantastic.
It's not kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
It blows the other flatbread out of the water.
Really?
Because it was delicious without killing us also.
Okay.
It was a lot. It wasn't a light meal by any means.
Well, the salmon one was kind of heavy. It was definitely
heavy. It
heavier.
Was really heavy. It had that sauce on it and everything.
Yeah, the sauce
I have a feeling they got rid of it for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we actually had this our last trip. Fantastic. The pears. See, that thing, it has pears in it.
Okay.
Just that little bit of sweetness in there, which thank God it didn't have salt.
No, because then
Melissa
would have the table would have been flipped.
Oh, yeah.
The coffee barbecue sauce actually stood out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't overwhelming.
It was really great. It was excellent.
And yeah, they just kind of like drizzled it on there too. So it wasn't like loaded with the sauce. So.
That was another thing with the salmon one. But
it was very saucy.
Sauce, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I'll do this while you're doing yours, because, okay, this is my number three. California Grill at the Contemporary is my number three. So, Brian, what would you get for your entree?
Oh, I love sushi, and I had gotten this when we went. And it was fantastic, and it's huge. I can't even, it's huge. It's the dragon roll. It's spicy and tataki tuna. I don't really know what tataki tuna is, but it's spicy and tataki tuna. It's just good. Shrimp tempura, bell peppers, avocado, and a chili soy glaze. It was fantastic. If you like sushi, I highly recommend it. It was a ton. It was more than enough for me. It's enough for at least two people.
Yeah, I think they've changed that with the redo of California Grill.
They still haven't gone since the redo.
They still have the dragon roll, but I do think they scaled back on the amount.
They scaled it back.
Yeah. Because, yeah, it was like...
You remember how massive
that was? Like,
yours was a roadmap.
It was crazy.
Melissa, California Grill is your number three as well?
It is. Yeah.
So what would your appetizer be?
My appetizer was the chili.
Okay. What would your entree be then?
My entree would actually also be sushi, because California Grill is known for their sushi.
They
so
are.
Every time I go, I want to get it, because it's like one of the, you know, just like when you go to the steakhouse, you get steak and, you know. I have gotten the spicy Kazan roll a few times. I absolutely love it because of the way that they arrange it on the plate. It's the crab, shrimp, scallops, tuna, they're all, they're in the roll, and the roll is laid out in a circle on the plate. However, within each, like, roll, in the middle of the plate, they put this fireball sauce with little baby scallops and...
those poor baby scallops.
Yeah, and, like, a crunchy, I don't know, thing that they put on sushi that I don't know what it's called. But it's not on the menu, I don't know.
Okay, crunchy thing on sushi, got it.
Okay.
And you...
Are you talking about, like, the little red...
No.
Little, okay.
No,
okay.
It's different. But yeah, the fireball sauce with the scallops in the middle and then the roll on the outside with more fireball sauce. Fireball sauce is exactly what it sounds like. It's spicy and I love it.
Oh, so it's actually a spicy
It one. Actually is okay. spicy, which gets me, you know, good because I like that. But what I would actually order for my fantasy would be the crab and beef Oscar roll. I got this the last time. It's a California asparagus roll, but it has seared rare beef laid on top. It's huge, but it's very good. There were only 8 pieces, but the roll with the beef on top was very big. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. All I right. loved it.
Well, let me tell you what you're both wrong. Because opinions are opinions, but yours are wrong.
I don't think so.
Because there's steak with bacon. Let me repeat that.
Oh, you went with that?
Yeah, because I order it every year. It is the bison strip loin.
Oh, okay.
I've ordered this twice in a row, and I didn't 3 times in a row, but the second time I was unaware that I ordered it the first year because it sounded good on the description, and I was like, oh no, I've definitely had this again, and it was phenomenal the second time, and then I got it the third time. It is a bison strip loin, which is it is a different taste than a regular steak. It's got a little bit different. It's got asparagus 2 ways. I hate asparagus, but I enjoy it the way that they deliver it in this dish. And then on top of the strip loin, well, not on top, it's actually kind of into a mix, is a cherry wood bacon and then huckleberry veal juice. Jus. I always forget how you say that word. J-U-S. There's a certain like a way jaws, to say it.
Yeah.
No. It's like fancy.
Jew.
Jews.
All Jews.
No, I don't think so.
Yes.
So that is my number one because, yeah, it's bacon and steak.
Yeah, that's a good combo.
Yeah, it is. It's a good combo.
Yeah. Well, it's bison steak. I think that's what makes it unique, which is, you know. Also, the first couple times you had it, they made it with Brussels sprouts. It was prepared a different way.
Mm.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah, because then
this third time, you know, I think it was cut a little differently, and then they had the asparagus. So, again, like...
The last time we went, it was slightly different than the previous two.
Yeah.
It was. It had a little bit of a different go to it, but I still...
Oh, no, I'm sure it was still fantastic, yeah.
Which, when I finish a plate, that means I really liked it. Because normally I'm not... I don't know why. I don't tend to. Let's get to the important thing. Desserts.
Yes.
This was an easy one for me. Warm homemade fritters.
That's mine, too.
That's yours as well?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Banana stuffed, cinnamon dusted fritters, complemented with a trio of dipping sauces. Can't go wrong. Only the devil wouldn't pick this. Melissa, what'd you pick?
I didn't pick that because I knew you would pick it.
You picked a
makes sense to me. Because
anything
okay.
with banana is usually for you. I chose the California strawberry shortcake, which it's the strawberry glaze house-made donut with strawberries and fresh whipped cream and strawberry milk. You had me a strawberry donut. I don't know.
Is it quick? Like strawberry quick?
No.
God, I wish it was.
I'm sure it's also actually like whipped cream, which is always my favorite.
That sounds good. Did you have that before?
No. Okay. I don't know why. Maybe it's only like a summer thing. Again, seasonally, they change. So.
Oh, okay. I had no problem finding one that I had before. If the apple thing was on here, though, that obviously would be my number one. You know, but we were there a year after we had that fall, and it wasn't there. It wasn't the same one.
No. They added the fritters, though. So.
I don't know. Yeah, but I really want to try that apple thing again.
Yeah.
So... All right, guys, that's going to be it for us. Oh, you know what? No, hold on 1 second. I take that back. I asked a bunch of people on the interwebs what they wanted, what they would do with a day. Let me just give some things. See, like, this is exactly the wrong answer. Only one day, I'd grab counter services rather than spend the day in restaurants. You're a fool.
It's fantasy, make believe.
Yeah, no, it didn't work.
You have a bottomless pit for a stomach.
Gerard Russ O'Donnell says Tusker's for breakfast, Germany or Tangerine Cafe for lunch, And either Ohana's or California Grill for dinner. That's really, really good.
I really like Ohana's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Chelsea Radix says breakfast at 1900 Park Fair. Mm-hmm. Lunch at Tony's. Surprising. I'm not a big Tony's fan.
No, it's not horrible, but it's not. I wouldn't pick it.
Dinner at California Grill. Nice. California Grill, I think, shows up the most.
Yeah.
Stacey Warr says breakfast at Ohana, lunch at Coral Reef, dinner at Narcoossee's or Yachtsman.
I've never had Coral Reef. Have you guys ever eaten there?
We just did. There. It was good.
It was good?
Yeah. It was good. I liked it.
I didn't think it was anything like crazy good. Like,
no, it didn't kill me. I wasn't like, woohoo, but
it was cool.
I enjoyed the dinner.
It was cool because it's in Epcot and the restaurant is arranged so all the tables look out into the aquarium.
Oh, okay.
And while we were there, there was like divers in there with the fish and stuff. It was pretty cool.
Nice.
This Megan Chase or Chesse has the right point. I would start late. It's a dream scenario, so it would not involve kids. This is her. Eat at Boma for breakfast, Kona for lunch, 1900 for dinner. Snacks would include everything at Gaston's Tavern, food and wine fest booths, and pastries from France.
Oh, we gotta hang out with
this
one.
Yeah, that's really well done.
She needed to just add a
all you needed was a Dole Whip.
There you go.
Oh, well, or citrus swirl. Jesse Woods got a Ohana breakfast, Liberty Tree lunch, Cellier, Le Cellier dinner.
Oh, that's a good place.
And then he throws in, and Dole Whips in between.
All
so,
of them.
Again, very
jalapeno cream cheese pretzels at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
We've got Dawn Cooper says Boma for breakfast. Boma's another very popular choice for breakfast.
Yeah. I love Boma for dinner also.
Yeah.
Tempanito or France, Chefs de France, I assume, for lunch because Monsieur Paul is only dinner, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's only dinner.
And definitely Victoria and Albert's for dinner. So I wonder if she actually went there. I should have asked that. Teresa Turner is very similar. Tusker House for breakfast, Le Cellier for lunch, and then Victoria and Albert's Queen Victoria Room for dinners. Yeah. Even more specific on that one. And one that only one person said, and I'm really surprised, Trail Ends Breakfast.
Oh.
Yeah, one of the best things to do over there. Head over to Epcot, and then this is, Karen Tomaszewski. Got a lot of vowels in there. then head over to Epcot and eat lunch around the world. Finish with Cape May Clam Bake Buffet for dinner. Throw a Dole Whip or Churro in for fun.
Nice.
So, all very, very good answers. Oh, good measure. I apologize. Throwing for good measure. All very, very good answers. Thanks, guys. That was good stuff. So, I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. If you have your own ideas as to what you would want to devour on your own, dream day of eating whatever food you want, I don't know, tweet it to us. At Last Gen Podcast. You can also email us, lastgenpodcast@gmail.com. The song that you're hearing right now, slowly coming in, is What I Likes by Pogo. And once again, you can go visit him over at youtube.com/Pogo. You can find most of his music at soundcloud.com/Pogo Mix. And his home web address is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter at lastgenpodcast, as I just said. Facebook in the same name. Please, guys, head on over to the iTunes page and hit that subscribe button and give us a 5-star review. That is the best way for the show to basically get featured over at iTunes and whatnot and find a larger audience. And that would be much appreciated. So, say goodnight, Brian.
Goodnight, Brian.
Say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Pete. Say goodnight, Pogo.
Interesting. I does what I likes and I likes what I do. I does what I likes and I like. I does what I likes and I like. What I do. I does what I likes and I like. I does what I likes and I like. What I do. I does what I likes and I like.
Now, how does that sound?